were in church here heard me preach a message entitled Living Letters from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I don't typically do this, but I'm going to do it this morning. If you're a part of this church, I would encourage you as the pastor of the church to listen to that message, okay? Because this is something God laid on my heart back in the spring. I shared it with the leadership team, the elders at the time, and told them that in the fall we would be doing a series on living letters, and we had some conversation about it, got some feedback from the other leaders in the church. And so the series that we're going to engage in over this next month, I set up last week with the message from this passage of Scripture, and I'm just going to reread it now. It's from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, and this is what he says, and this was the passage of Scripture that I preached from last week. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And that was the text for last week's message. And in short, what I shared and what I encourage you to listen to if you haven't heard it yet is just the reality of what it means to be living letters written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And that, in fact, each one of us that's in Christ is just that. We are a living letter that God is writing with our lives. We're a letter that's to be read by everybody. And as I talked about last week, we're being read by everybody, whether we want to be or not. God's intention is that we be read by everybody, and that to many people, we're the only Bible that we will ever read. We're the only Jesus they will ever see. But that God is also committed to our transformation through the Spirit, which is why Paul says here, we are letters being written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Now, that's true for every single one of us in this room if we know Jesus. And if you come to know Jesus, it will be true for you too. So having set that up last week scripturally, what we want to do now, and I said at the end of the message in each service last week, we would be doing that. For the next 4 weeks, we are going to be hearing and reading living letters in this church. And the way I've decided to do this is in kind of an interview format to make it a little less intimidating for those that are sharing. But I really sense, and I sensed this back in the spring, and God first laid this on my heart actually a couple of years ago, but then put a break on it, that God really wants to minister to the church through the church as the living letters of the church get read by the church. And we have two services. People go to different church services. Even in a church our size, not everybody is going to get to know everybody intimately or get close with them necessarily. That's just not going to happen in the practical reality of life, even if we're in life groups together. So this is going to give us an opportunity to do that, but to also see the arc of a story, a letter that God is writing, words, sentences, paragraphs, pages that God is writing in people's lives. And I believe God's going to encourage us. He's going to convict us. He's going to encourage us. He's going to stimulate us to faith and good works. God's going to do all kinds of things as we do this. So each of the next 3 weeks after today, you'll be hearing from different people. And today, the first person you're going to hear from is Patty Collins. So Patty, come up. So you can clap. You can welcome her. Okay, we're live now.
Okay, I'm nervous. Is this on?
It's on. Yep.
I'm a little nervous, and I'm more afraid of falling off the stool than anything else.
So I just went out and got these stools yesterday so that we can kind of swivel.
You told me
feels
they'd
good.
Be really comfortable.
I just don't want to swivel all the way around and land up falling off. So thank you so much first for being willing to come before the congregation to share your story in Jesus. I really appreciate that, and I know everybody
I'm
here
excited.
Does. So let me begin with this question then, Patty. Tell us about your story before you came to Jesus. A little bit about your life in the lead up to meeting Jesus and putting your faith in him.
Okay. So I was born into a Catholic family, second child of three, so middle child. Just let's get that right off to the bat. very introverted personality. Grew up in a Catholic home, like I said, did the baptism, did the First Communion, did the confirmation, went to Catholic school. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, my mother and father got divorced. So from that time on, we were raised pretty much by ourselves. Like I had an older sister that kind of kept us from killing each other. But mom worked full-time, raised three kids, so there wasn't a lot of real solid parental support in the home. We did have a really big extended family around us. We had 31st cousins, and my mother had two brothers and four sisters that lived, you know, relatively close to us. We grew up in Providence, Rhode Island. But we pretty much had the run of the road and, you know, made our own decisions and our own choices, not always the best in the world. When I was 15, I stopped going to church. I never took on Catholicism for myself. I never really understood all of the rules and the regulations of the church, the traditionalism, the if God is everywhere, why do I have to go to confession? Why does there always have to be a middleman? And I stopped going at 15 because at 16, my sister got her driver's license, and she and I would tell mom we're going to first service, and we'd run in and get the bulletin and go have breakfast. So that was pretty much the last time that, you know,
People still do that.
Yeah. So from that point on, there really wasn't any church happening in my life. And my mother got remarried just before I turned 16 and moved us to Maine. And she moved us into an alcoholic home, unbeknownst to her, a raging alcoholic. And that kind of just set our precedent for, I was going into my sophomore year of high school. And that just kind of set it. We did everything that we could not to be around. So we kind of just lived outside of the house, went home for food. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to disrespect my mother. She did everything that she had the ability to do to raise us with a sense of family and a sense of God. So at a young age, even though I didn't take Catholicism on, I did believe in God. And I did talk to him a lot as a child, asking him questions, not really feeling like I ever got answers from him, but always, he was always there, always present in our lives. And then, so, is that good?
Yeah, no,
is that
that's good.
Is that enough? Like, where do I go with this?
Let me ask you this. How, looking back on that time now, did you sense, as you look back on it now, can you sense the Lord's presence at different points in that part of your journey, or some way in which God was actually with you then before you came to a place of faith in Jesus?
Oh, definitely. I really feel like God protected my life. Like, because we, as a child or as a teen, a young teen, I could have gotten into so much more trouble than I did. Like I keep saying we, but I experimented in, you know, drugs and experimented in just whatever was happening at that time when I was a preteen. And it started young. Like I was smoking cigarettes by the time I was 12, I think, 12 or 13. And then did my first drugs when I was in junior high school, the first chemicals and smoking pot and different things like that. So my life could have taken a really hard turn. And I really feel that God kept me fairly reined in compared to what could have happened, you know, getting involved in that kind of stuff as a teen.
Yeah. So tell us about how you came to Jesus.
So when I was 17, found myself pregnant and then married to Rick at 18. Right out of high school, I managed to graduate. Being raised in Rhode Island, the academic requirements were higher than they were in Maine, the standard for graduation. So when we moved to Maine, I had a lot more credits than most sophomores did. So I was able to graduate high school in January. which was good because Ricky was born on January 18th and I graduated on January 21st. Rick and I got married on New Year's of before that. So started right away with a young, you know, young babies, having babies. And that used to really irritate me when people would say that. I would get so mad. I'm not a baby, you know. It's like, because I felt like, at that point, at 18, I felt like I'd lived this unbelievable life already. You know, we're so naive when we're young. So we were married for about almost 2 years. And this couple that Rick has known since Dick and Dolores DeLormier, and Rick knew Dolores ever since he was a kid, 5 years old or something. He used to babysit for her kids. She has cut his hair ever since birth almost. Still does. But we used to party with them. You know, we'd go and get stoned and drink and whatever with them. And then all of a sudden, we went and visited them, and they're talking about Jesus. It's like, what happened? And they were watching some televangelism and got saved radically over this television program. So every time we went to visit them, they just gave us a Jesus talk. And at that time, it was like, I really personally, and it was more intense for me, I think, because Rick didn't really have the kind of upbringing, like the Catholic upbringing that I did. So I had a lot of misconceptions and a lot of questions around God and around the church and around traditionalism and religiosity and all of this stuff. I was really pretty adverse to any Jesus talk. So we'd go and they'd talk about Jesus and we'd leave and it's like, Rick, I really don't want, it just is painful. And then eventually, like I would start, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to start getting these questions out because this is why I don't go to church. So tell me, you know, if God is everywhere, then why? Why do I have to go to a priest to confess if God is everywhere? And Dolores, as a brand new Christian, she would go right into the Word of God and she would show me in Scripture the answers to my questions. And if she didn't have the answer to my question, she would go back that week before I saw her again and she would talk to the pastor or she'd study and she would have the Scripture for me again. So she witnessed to me through Scripture and she made me realize that my salvation, my relationship with God had nothing to do with the church. It had to do with Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, and it was a personal relationship. It was a relationship through the Holy Spirit with God the Father and God the Son, and it had nothing to do with any outside person, which really drew me. It really, that's what I wanted. If there's going to be a God, I want him real. I want him active in my life. I want him answering questions for me. And it started then. And at that point in mine and Rick's relationship, our marriage was like tanked. He had no idea because I was an introverted personality. Mm-hmm. Trained to be a peacemaker at any cost, lay it down and let people wipe your feet on you and just keep your mouth shut and everybody's happy. Like you don't express or you don't say what you're feeling. So Rick had no idea that I was ready to go get a divorce before we were married 2 years. Like I was at the end of it. So I got saved on a Sunday. I went to church with them and the pastor did the altar call. And when he did it, like my hand just went up and I'm going, is that me? Like, it felt like a total out-of-body experience. Like, I just couldn't believe that I was putting my hand up. So I went forward, and I accepted the Lord. And Rick was a little upset at me because he wasn't there, and he would have done it with me. So he did it the next Sunday. And within a matter of months, like 3 months, at that point our marriage, things just turned right around to the point where family members were wondering what was going on in our lives. Like, the testimony of Jesus right away in our lives and how he changed our attitudes towards each other and just our opinions about things was so evident to family that they questioned what had changed. So that's when we came to the Lord.
That's really cool. What was the, you know, you've just talked about attitudes changing and perspectives and so on. What for you personally was the most compelling thing in your life from the moment that you accepted Jesus? What was the most, what was the biggest internal change that you sensed going on in your life?
I think the biggest internal change was I wasn't alone anymore. I wasn't, when I prayed, I felt like I had God's ear. And I didn't get a real sense at that point how much I had his ear. That didn't come until years later. Because I feel like the first probably 10 or 15 years, or maybe even longer, it was, we hit the ground running. Like, we had, at this point, Ricky was like a year and a half. Once we got saved, we got pregnant again with Katie. So here we are, young Christians, trying to do right, trying to get it right with these kids so that we didn't screw them up, you know, because we all come from dysfunction. You know, we're all at that place. But we wanted to raise these kids with a sense of who God is in their life, not a religious sense, but an operating, functional sense of who God is in their lives. And the only way that they could learn that was through our lives. So I feel like for the first probably 15 years or more in my life, my focus was on the kids. It was being a parent, trying to figure out how to be a parent, because we didn't really have, we had a mother and a father, but they didn't give us that spiritual, emotional support that we needed growing up. They did give us, like they gave, I have a knowledge in myself that I can do anything that I need to do to get something done. So I can cook, you know, I can get a meal on the table, I can refinish furniture, I can do stained glass, I can do, like I can, if I decide that I want to do something, I can figure it out. And I believe that came from how we were raised, because we raised ourselves, we had to figure out how to do things. And so I had that real, a real sense of that in myself. But what I didn't have a sense of was the emotional, the self-esteem. Like I didn't have somebody try to figure out what was going on with me when I was an emotional mess, or when I was in this relationship with this boy and ended up pregnant. You know, it wasn't about me emotionally. It was about, you gotta get married, because it doesn't look good if you don't. You know, it's about the outside, your outside performance. It wasn't about your inside. So for me, my first prayer with the kids was, God, I want to create in them a sense that they can do whatever they want to do, whatever they set their mind to. But I also want them to know that they're supported emotionally. Don't help me not to miss it with them. Like, I want to be able to make sure that they're not lost and forgotten in those areas of their lives. So those are my first prayers for the kids. So for that first part of my life, that's what it was about. It was about raising them and trying not to wound too much. But we have a standing thing at the house that whenever something surfaces, you have permission to come and talk to us about it, and we'll get it out in the open, and we'll ask your forgiveness for whatever it is that we damaged, and we'll pray for you. And, you know, so I'm not so pompous to think that any of it was perfect, because it wasn't, and it was hard. But God, every time I got before him and asked him for support or for direction or for something, he would give it to me, and it would be individualized for each one, because they're totally different. You know my kids. They're totally, like, Ricky got all the words in the house, and that's not a curse. That's a blessing for us introverts who don't have a lot of words, because we appreciate that. And Katie, she's got the introverted thing going on. So you needed direction from the Spirit, how to work with them and how to raise them.
Yeah. So looking back on the first part of your life, before coming to Jesus, you talked really about the Lord protecting, mm-hmm. keeping you from getting into things you might have gotten into a lot deeper, and the Lord just being there to protect. And then in the season after coming to Jesus, no longer being alone, mm-hmm. having a sense of the Lord's ear, the sense of his voice and his helping you with a young family, young marriage, and God just being there and being present with you. But how about the journey that you're on with the Lord? And here, I can take that for you. The journey you're on with the Lord, and the time really in your life, the kind of arc of that story from the time you came to Jesus, and you've just described what that was like for you and the immediate kind of aftermath of that and the way the Lord is helping you to change. What about the story in the journey from then until now? Because everyone in this room is on a journey with Jesus too and has a story. And God is writing a very particular letter in your life. And the words and the sentences and the paragraphs of that letter look different. But there are things in there that I know that the Lord wants, and you know that he wants you to share, and I know that that are going to minister to us. So talk to us about the story from coming to Jesus, really, through to this point in your life.
So one of my biggest deficits, and I feel like my testimony to this point, is how the Father God has worked to establish who he is in my life. Let's see if I can. And like I said, being brought up in that household and coming through what we came through, and it wasn't horrible by it, you know. I mean, there's way worse testimonies out there, you know. Even within our family, there are worse testimonies than maybe what I can share. But what I do know is that as a Christian, and as I was coming through this with the kids, my sense was that I was standing on the street trying to get God's attention through a closed door. That's what it felt like to me. And I would, you know, I would get before God with this. Now, you need to understand, my relationship with God sometimes is like a white knuckle. We're going to do this. And I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but we're going to do this. And we're here until you give me what I need to move on, to be able to survive or to be able to take the next step or the next breath. And God was always faithful to do that for me. Every time I pursue him for anything, any question, whether it was with my kids or with our marriage or with me personally, he has been faithful. It hasn't always looked pretty, believe me. And my close people can tell you that it doesn't always look pretty, but I am steadfast. And I think that's one of the biggest things we need to be as children of God, as sons and daughters, is to know that he has every intention to bless our lives and to answer our prayers and to bring us to that place that he intended for us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. And I think those were the scriptures that got my attention the most. He said that he has a plan for my life. Well, what is it? Because I don't know what it is. I'm still not really sure what it is. But what is that plan? What is the story that you wrote for me before I was born? That's the story that I want to be living. And in the meantime, he's taking me through and he's healing the deficits, that the lies that I believed, the strongholds that I set in my life, the vows that I said, he is walking me through them, and he's picking one at a time, and he's helping me understand where they came from and how to heal from them and how to get by them. So, like I said, one of the prayers was, you know, Lord, I feel like I'm out on the street trying to get your attention through this closed door. Why? You say that you're right here. Why do I feel this way? And he showed me three very specific things as a child. One, I was right after my mother and father's divorce. One, when my mother got married, and one, my father got married, where they took my voice from me. I can remember being upset as a child and crying at night. And my mother would tell me, it's okay to cry, but don't tell anybody, because nobody knows yet that Dad's left. So if anybody asks, you tell them that he's working, he's out of town. So there, no voice. You just squelch it. And that wasn't, like, my mother wasn't, she was just trying to get through this thing. So it wasn't like a horrible, I wasn't beaten, it was just a word. It was a very quick, quiet word whispered at night. And then when my mother got married, the priest came to the house and had the three of us at the table and asked my sister and brother how they felt about this wedding. And when they came to me, he said, oh, Patty will go along with anything. And never let me, and I was 15 years old at the time, and I was ready to let him have it. And he just took my voice. He just took it away from me. And my dad, when he got married on my 15th birthday, he came to the house in the morning, very early in the morning. We had no idea. He handed me a birthday card, said, happy birthday. I'm getting married today. And turned around and walked out of the house. Like, didn't invite us, didn't, you know. And those were not, like, it was how they were handling things. And they weren't beatings and they weren't any of that stuff, but it took my voice. And that's what God showed me. It's like, I went to bed that night after I had asked him, why do I feel this way? And when I sat down on the bed, those three memories just, they just kind of went through my head, like right out of the blue. I didn't even have any idea that the effect that they had had on me. But at that time, I believed that I didn't have a voice and I wasn't going to be listened to. So I walked through a process of healing and asking forgiveness for believing that to begin with, because it was my belief. It wasn't anything like it. That's not, I could talk to my mother and tell her how I feel, and maybe not so much my father. But so they were just little things that as a child I vowed that that's how it was. So I had to walk through that. And there were other times in our lives, like with Rick and I, and we went through some, our marriage, although God at that first 2 years really gave us what we needed to keep going, or gave me what I needed to keep going, over the years there was a lot more of that where I would get before the Lord like trying to stay in this marriage, not wanting to because of how hard it was, and God would give me a word or the next breath so that I could do it. Like I could do this relationship and we could work through whatever the point was that we were working through. And even when Rick and I did separate, I feel like when that separation happened, because there were other times where I wanted to leave and God didn't let me. He would tell me, you write a letter to Rick and give him the letter, or you do this and you do that. And this time it was okay. It's like I got permission at this point. And I believe that I got permission because it was time for God to heal our marriage. It was time for God to get into the dirt, because it wasn't a marriage. It wasn't marriage issues for us. It wasn't a marriage problem. It was woundings that we picked up as children that we brought into this relationship. And that's how we dealt with each other. So throughout, right up until this point, and even now, whenever something is going on, even in the quiet time, right now I feel like I'm at a place of resting, which is really not easy to rest and not really be involved in digging into something. I'm pursuing God in this, and I know that He's going to answer me. There has been not one time in any situation in my life where He hasn't met me somehow. And I don't mean when He met me that He made it all better, that He made the situation go away or made it easier, but He gave me the peace that I needed to stay where I was. He gave me the next breath so that I could go on into the next phase of whatever it was that He's doing.
That's amazing. You know, at this point in your life now, we talked last week and in the lead-in to listening to you today, talked just about Paul's imagery of this letter that God is writing in your life, with the Spirit of the living God. What are the hopes that you carry based on your history with God from even before you came to the Lord, as you look back on it, your experience of coming to faith in Christ, and the journey that you've just talked about now from that point in, until this? What are some of the hopes that you carry with you for the rest of the letter that God's writing in your life? And I'm not talking necessarily about specific desires of your heart, things that you would like to do or see happen. But what is it about the quality of the relationship with God and the quality of that letter that He's writing in your life that gives you a sense of hope for the future as God continues to write that letter? And how would you kind of characterize that? How would you describe that?
So a few years ago, it's probably been about 8 years ago or so, a question kept coming into my head. I heard a sermon from Mario or something that talked about how God has a name for us written in heaven. So I started to pursue that with the Lord. What's my name? I want to know what my name is. My name's Patricia Louise Collins, Winningham Collins, but I want to know what name you have for me. What's my name? You know, and I would press in and get nothing, and I would forget about it for a while, and then I would go back to it again and press in. What's my name? What's my name? I want to know what my name is. You said I have a name. What's my name? And this is, you know, this is how I am with God. It's sometimes it's just not pretty. And I'm sure it's like the scripture that said he knocked and he kept knocking until he got an answer, the neighbor. And, you know, I hold on to those scriptures. If that's what the scripture says, that's what's happening until God meets me where I need to be met. And it's his decision where that need is, not mine, because he always comes through in another way that I would never even have imagined to answer a question. So I went through a 11-month period where I was unemployed. I got fired from my job. First time I'd ever been fired in 20-something years of, and for it just devastated me. 2 weeks I was on the couch, and then it was like, okay, Lord, this is the first time in 30 years that my outside circumstances are not dictating what I'm doing from one day to the next. So the kids, like, I have to do this because I have the kids, and I have to do this. Well, the kids were gone at this point. Rick and I really weren't in a relationship. We were living in the same house, but we really weren't in a relationship. And I just pressed in, God, what is my name? And the Lord told me, your name is daughter. What is that? What is daughter? Like, that? How is that's not a name. He goes, well, what is a daughter? And I said, well, I, like, when I give you my definition of daughter, it's somebody who's invisible, somebody who has no voice, you know, somebody who is kind of cared about, but not really, you know, that's, well, and then the Lord said, tell me what Katie is. Describe what your daughter is. Give me a list of what your daughter is. So, you know, what is she to you? And that just opened up a whole, well, she's this. You know, I love her for the good, bad, and ugly. You know, like, she can come in and ask me for anything, and if I can, I'll give it to her. You know, she comes and takes my socks or my sweaters or my scarves, or it's hers. Like, just do it. If I'm not wearing it, it's yours. If I'm not eating it, eat it. Like, whatever you need, it's yours. And the Lord said, when you understand that for yourself as my daughter, then we'll move on and you'll get a different name. I still am named daughter right now, so I haven't, and over the last number of years, that's what he's been doing for me, is he has been establishing my place in his kingdom as his daughter, and he is putting me in a place where I, you know, you, in the religious mind that I have, it's like, oh God, I don't want to be disrespectful, and I want to have a good fear of the Lord, but he told me that he's my father, and that I'm his daughter, and that I can come in as messy as I need to come in, and he is going to be there, and he is going to hear me, and he is going to set me in a place where he wants me. And I, you know, it's like when Jesus died and rose again, and that curtain was split in the middle, God opened a path up directly into his court, into his kingdom, into his presence. And scripture says that. And if scripture says that, that's where I'm living. And when I'm not, he reminds me that's where I need to live. And that's what he's doing in my life right now, is he's teaching me how to be a daughter, how to know that he loves me no matter what my condition is, no matter how cranky I get, no matter, you know, how upset I get or how happy I get or whatever. So my desire, my heart's desire, well, is to learn the new name. That's one of my pursuits. It's like, okay, let's get through the daughter part. But to be in a place where I can hear the voice of God instantly, so that I can operate inside and outside of heaven in the story that he wrote for me before I was formed. That's my desire. That's what I'm pursuing for my life. And to be in people's lives more purposefully. Because as an introverted personality, it's easy for me to go right back into that invisible, this is where I want to, like, it's easy for me not to be involved. So it's a purposing to be involved in conversation, to be involved in people's lives, to be involved in the things that God would have me involved in as his daughter, so that I can help others. And this, I was so excited about this testimony opportunity, because I feel like I'm not an evangelist and I'm not a preacher, but one of my giftings is exhortation. And if God can do this for me in my life, I'm his daughter. You're his sons and daughters. Like, there's no reason why any of us should be hesitant. And if we have places where we're sticking and it's hard, then press into that place until God softens it for you and opens that door for you and makes a way for you and gives you a word, because he will do it. His word says that he will do it. And we need to hold him to his word. And by sharing our testimonies with each other, we share the Spirit of God to open those places in other people's lives. So this is really exciting.
Patty, I want to thank you this morning because you are not invisible.
I know that now.
but also for someone that's more introverted to sit before the church and share your heart and give us just a little window into, because of restrictions of time, but it's a window into the reality of what God's been doing in your life. And as I said last week, your testimony is not just how you came to Christ. It's the entire arc of your story. It's the entire letter. The testimony is one paragraph of how you came to Jesus, but it's all the words and sentences that lead up to that. It's all the paragraphs that follow that. It's every page that God is writing. And what you've just shared with us with your heart this morning is it's so encouraging. It's so challenging. We receive that word of exhortation from you. And we want to thank you for being willing to share with us this morning the true testimony of your life. So I'm going to ask you if you would stand with us this morning. And I'm going to invite those that are on the ministry team to come right up if they would. We're going to have a time of prayer and ministry. And so just come right on up if you're on the ministry team this morning. So as you stand this morning, for those of that may be guests of ours this morning, this is an integral part of our service as we close out the service, where we invite people that would like prayer for anything. You may need prayer for anything in your life. You might need direction. You might need encouragement. You might need fresh faith. You might need prayer for healing, whatever. You're free to come up, and there's people here that have been trained and released to pray and lay hands on you and pray for you. But this morning, I'm going to have Patty lead this time of ministry here in prayer, as the Holy Spirit comes to minister to us. So
because of where I'm at, I want to call you and I want to ask you, do you know that you stand before the Father of heaven and earth as his son or his daughter? Is there anything that's keeping you from that position in your life? Can you go to him when you're all alone at night in the dark and nobody else is around, in your head and in your heart, can you go to him in that place as a son or daughter? And I would ask that if you can't, there's something that you need to push into there. You need to press on it until God releases that into your life, because that's what he wants for you. He wants you to stand before him in relationship, honestly, as his son and his daughter. So I would just ask anybody that would like prayer to cover that place in you, to open that place up, to come on up for a prayer. And
yeah, just come up if anything that Patty's just said resonates with you, or you want prayer for anything at all. Please come now and we'll minister to you, okay, as the Holy Spirit enables us. So Father, we thank you for the power of this living letter that we've been able to read something of this morning. Thank you for what you're writing in and with Patty's life. And thank you that what you're writing in her life shows us that you're writing something in each of our lives to be read by everybody. And Father, we thank you for that work. We thank you for what you're doing. And again, we thank you for Patty this morning. We bless you in Jesus' name. If you'd like prayer, please come on up. And if you need to leave, feel free to do that too.